First Corinthians 3. I guess the teens had a really good activity yesterday. They had a scavenger hunt last night, and we had, I think, 10 teenagers, Suzanne told me, out for that. That's a blessing. And they had a good time, enjoyed themselves, ate lots of pizza, and then everybody went home. Well, they had a good time. And so that's a blessing. If you can think of it, this week, Pastor Overton, Rich's father, has a hip replacement on Wednesday. So if you can remember to pray for Pastor Aaron Overton, we would really, really appreciate it. Saw him last night. We went over to, they had a little gathering for him. He turned 80 yesterday. And so we had a little gathering, family and friends. We're kind of family, right? I mean, yeah, we're family. We're actually family because Kathy's brother married Pastor Overton's daughter. So we're really family. But we're really family anyway, because we're all saved, so that makes us a family. So we had a good time last night over there, so that was a blessing. 1 Corinthians 3, have I said enough to kind of let you relax, let the blood flow down your ankles so you can stand back up? Okay, let's do that. I say often, if I have to stand, you should be standing the whole time. Hey, they did it in the book of Nehemiah, or Ezra. They stood for practically a whole day as the Bible was read, and all they did was read the Bible, the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meats, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. We pray that you bless this message. Use it, Lord, to go forth to speak to the hearts and souls of everyone that's in this room. Lord, you know our spiritual needs, you know our desires, you know what we're lacking spiritually in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that through the preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Word, and through the Holy Spirit, those spiritual needs would be met. And so, Lord, bless and move. Be with those that are watching or listening today online. We pray that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, we pray again that for those that are away and traveling or working or whatever, or those that are just too sick to be able to be in church, we pray that you would bless them and be with them mightily. Lord, again, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and mercy, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Corinthians were proud people. The Corinthians were very proud of their gifts. They were very proud of their talents. They were very proud of their wisdom. They seemed to be critical of Paul's simple message that he had. Paul tells them that he had to keep his message simple because they were nothing but a bunch of babies. Right? Isn't that what he says? Verses 1 and 2. And he was doing it in a very couth way. He was trying to be nice as he was saying this. But he says, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." You're acting like a bunch of babies in this church. They were acting like infants. They weren't acting like adults. These people were adults in age, but they weren't acting like adults. And he gives several reasons why. He says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He said, I started you off on milk, and we still have to feed you milk. He was trying to tell them in a nice way, grow up. Get mature. But he had to keep his message simple. This church had a lot of problems, as we know. I mean, it was just inundated with all kinds of issues and problems, and things were going on, and sin. And it was something that Paul had to spend quite a bit of time writing. You see these two books, how big they are, especially 1 Corinthians, these letters. And so he had to deal with them on these different issues. Paul then goes on and gives three different views of the church. And that's what I want us to look at here today. Is these different views that he gives. Let me ask you a question. What is the most important thing that a Christian can do? Just be quiet. Don't burst out and say something. But think. I want you just to think about this. The most important thing that a Christian can do. This is what I believe that the most important thing that a Christian can do is, first of all, grow and glory and bring glory to God. Grow. Okay, you're saved. You get saved, praise God. You're going to heaven. Now start growing up. Start maturing. And as you grow, you bring glory to God. The more you grow as a Christian, the more you mature as a Christian, the more glory that you will bring to the Lord. And so we as Christians, we are obligated to grow as Bible believers, to grow as Christians. That is what we are to be doing. That is our responsibility in our life, is to grow. And when I say grow, you know what I mean. I'm talking about spending time in God's Word, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God. That's how we mature. That's how we grow as a Christian. So a baby comes into this world, and that's just what they are. They're a baby. They're an infant. And they need a lot of nourishing. They need a lot of taking care of. They need, to be fed with a bottle. They need to have their diapers changed. They got to have that pacifier. They got to have their little binky, or whatever you call that thing, little blanket to wrap around. You have to nourish those little babies. You have to help those little babies along until they start growing up, and then they get a little older. You start feeding them some other foods. Before you know it, they're eating steak and baked potato and corn on the cob, but that takes time. Some little baby with no teeth, you're not going to hand them a cob of corn, are you? Of course not. They're not going to be able to eat that. They could suck on it all day long, but it's not going to do a whole lot for them. And so we Christians, we need to grow constantly. We need to always be growing. I believe that as a Christian, as long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive and you haven't gone home to heaven yet, that you need to be growing. You need to be maturing. You need to be learning more from the Bible. Can you learn more than what you already know? Don't have the attitude, "I've learned it all. I know it all. I've read it through once and I know everything." You've not even scratched the surface when you have that kind of an attitude. I heard somebody say that one time in this church many, many, many years ago. They said, I read the Bible through once. I don't need to read it anymore. That's dangerous territory when you say things like that. Your life is going to be flip-flopped upside down. First of all, the verses 1 through 4, I'll give you these as we go through this. Just some things that kind of stood out to me here that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, we see the church is a family. You know, we're a family. We're a big, happy family. Put a smile on your face. Come on. We're supposed to be a big, happy family. Amen. Paul calls these early Christians, he calls them brethren. He says in verse 1, and I, brethren. So we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It makes us a family. We're actually blood brothers in Christ, blood through the blood of Jesus Christ. This family, though, was filled with worldliness, and there were a bunch of babies. How can a bunch of babies take care of a bunch of babies? You can't. You got to have somebody. You can't have an infant taking care of an infant. An infant won't know how to take care of an infant. And so this family was filled with worldliness and babies and infants. The new birth always gives us entrance into the family of God. That's how you become a part of the member of the family of God. The new birth. You start out as a baby. Then you start growing. You drink some milk, the milk of the Word, Peter says, this is what this is. It's the milk of the Word. You start doing that. You start learning and growing. I believe by being in church on a regular basis, faithfully attending church and reading God's Word, you'll start to grow. I've seen Christians do that. I've witnessed it many, many times down through the years to see. It's such a blessing for a pastor or an evangelist that spends time in a church to see Christians growing and slowly maturing. They get saved, they get discipled, they're reading their Bibles, maybe they, you know, jump into the Bible Institute, or they're here for Sunday school, they come back Sunday night, they're here Wednesday night, they're growing. It's such a blessing to the preacher to see people growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And so as we have this new birth and we start off into the family of God, we start to grow, we start to mature. Mature Christians are older brothers and sisters in the Lord. Those of us that have been saved a while. I've been saved a long time. I've been saved 50 years. I was saved when I was 17. I'm 67. Do the math. Did I do the math right? 67. Carry the one. Yes, I can do this. I can do this. I can do that. I don't need a calculator, and I don't have to do that. 50 years. I've been saved. That's quite a while. But you know what I'm doing? I'm still growing every day. Amen. I haven't reached maturity yet. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. You know, what I'm saying is the spiritual aspect of that. I've not reached that. I'm growing every day. I'm learning every day. I read the Bible every day, and I didn't see that before. Learn something here and there. We can always learn something as we grow. Children are always learning. You start to teach children as soon as they're in the world, you start teaching them things, right? You start teaching them, and you're trying to mature them, and it takes time. And with some children, it seems like it's just a little bit extra work. Other kids, man, they're talking in sentences and paragraphs at the age of one, you know. Didn't have to teach them anything, hardly. And other kids, I'm a little concerned here. The kid is 4 years old, and they're not talking yet. Well, you know, that's just the way we humans are. We all grow differently. We grow, completely the opposite sometimes of others. That's the way Christians are, I see. Some Christians get saved, and boy, they just take off by leaps and bounds. They're growing and maturing, and they're in church at every service, and they're reading their Bibles, and they talk about the Bible. They're trying to get involved in ministry and doing something. That's starting to go to maturity. And then there's some that don't. Seem to just want to stay a baby for a long, long time. They want to be pampered. You got to toss them a pacifier every once in a while. You got to send a Christian over to change your diapers. That's kind of gross, I know. But mature Christians are older brothers and sisters in the Lord that are growing. And it's our job as older Christians is to help the younger Christian, to disciple the younger Christian. Young Christians need help growing by being fed the Word of God. These Christians were living only on milk. And Paul wanted to give them some solid food. He wanted to give them something else than just the milk of the Word, but they were too immature to take it in. Their jealousy, they were quarreling, were proof of their immaturity. People, mature people have good relationships. Usually. Children fuss and fight. We have a school here. We have 21 students in our school. We see it every day. They fight. They pick fights. They fuss. Point fingers. Blaming somebody else constantly. He did it. She did it. It wasn't me. It's like, 2 o'clock, please come fast. It's when the buses come. Take them all home. They can continue their arguing at home. They have problems on the bus. We have to deal with that with some kids. Kids fight and argue. I hear them fighting and arguing when they're walking in from the bus. They come through the double doors and they're fighting and arguing. Hey, get in here. Sit down right now. Shut your mouth and just sit there. I don't want to hear nothing for a long time. When we tell you to talk, that's when you can talk. Anyway. But there are Christians that act like that too. In some churches. I'm thankful that we don't have that problem here that I know of yet. But there are Christians like that. This side's fighting with this side, and this side don't like this side, and this side is fighting with those in the back, and those in the back don't like these up front. And there is bickering and fighting and jealousy. Well, the pastor picked him or her to do something and didn't pick me to do anything. There's usually a reason why the pastor may pick somebody over somebody else. But again, they were just, these Christians here in the Corinthian church, they were just fussing and fighting and picking fights. He says in verse 3, you're yet carnal. He said there's envying going on, there's strife. What's strife mean? Fighting back and forth. Me, constantly arguing. Somebody's always got to get in the middle of these Christians and try to shut them down and quiet them down. There was divisions. Again, this side didn't like this side, and this side didn't like them, and this side didn't like, you know, it was just divisions. Schisms all over the church. Clicks. Click. Click. Click, 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 clicks everywhere. We should never have a click in our church. Never. You should love everybody. The same. You should treat everybody the same. Amen. The only favorite you should have is Jesus Christ. Everybody else should treat one another the same. That's the sign of a mature church. It's when there are no schisms and divisions and fighting and fussing and picking and pointing fingers at everybody. Do you know that children pick heroes? You ever notice that with kids? They have heroes, right? It could be a sporting figure. It could be a movie star. It could be a whatever. But children like to pick heroes. And these immature Christians were arguing over preachers, right? Look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So we got some of the church saying, I'm a Paul follower. Yeah, well, I like Apollos. He can speak much more fluently and better than Paul can. Paul is just a scrawny guy that comes up there and he says a bunch of stuff. But Apollos, oh, now he knew how to alliterate. He knew how to, he had his points all exact. He knew how to get that word of God out perfectly. And so you had a bunch of Paul followers and a bunch of Apollos followers. And I will say this, and I'll be gentle, but there are churches today that are the same way. We've got churches that some people follow one man, follow another big name preacher somewhere. We have people today that will only have people in their churches, missionaries that are from one specific college. I know churches like that. If you're not from this church, don't even call me. You're not coming in. You got to be from this church. You know, their followers, they're following a man. They're following a college and not following Christ properly. I know churches like that today. Right now, I know churches and pastors that are like that. Maybe they graduated from that school, but that's the only people they'll have in. They don't trust anybody else. Well, it's foolish. As long as we believe the Word of God, we're good. You look at our mission board there, there's not one missionary. All the missionaries are from one school. We have a diverse group of missionaries back there. Some guys would come in here and say, "Whoa, how can you do that, preacher?" Because they love the Lord and they're serving the same God I am. Amen. We're not a man follower here. Amen. We're not Heilsites or Ruckmanites or thisite or thatite. I'm a Jesusite. Amen. Amen. But these guys in this Corinthian church, they had their favorites. They had their favorite preachers. And so they would say to the church, "Hey, why don't you have this guy come in? Why don't you have this guy come in? And we haven't had this guy in a while. Why don't you have him come?" And that we have our favorites. And I listen, we all have maybe a favorite preacher or a group of guys that we enjoy that you like to listen to, right? We do that. You might, if you ever go online and listen to a preacher, you might have a favorite preacher that you really enjoy listening to. That's okay. But don't put that person up as a god. Don't get to the point where you're so immature that you won't listen to anybody else. And again, they were children pick heroes, and so were these immature Christians. They were doing the same thing. They're just arguing over preachers. Children like to follow and imitate others. All right? That's what children do. They'll follow and imitate somebody. And we have people today that they want to imitate a preacher. They want to imitate a big name preacher. I met some guys like that one time, quite a while ago, and they were all trying to copy Jack Hiles. They were trying to copy his mannerisms, his voice. It was like, come on, be yourself. You don't need to copy somebody to do something for God. Just be yourself. Let the Lord use you. And that's what we need to do. I would never, ever want any of our men to be like me. So I'm serious. You be yourself. And you preach the Word of God as the Lord tells you what to do. We don't need another one of me running around here. That's for sure. Amen, Kath? Amen. She's had this one here for pushing 50 years, and she wouldn't want to see another one of me running around here. What is your Christian growth like? Question. What is your Christian growth like? Are you growing as a Christian? Are you maturing through this Christian life, through this Christian walk? Are you learning some things? Learning something new? I don't know every day, but maybe. Maybe every day you're getting some blessing from the Word of God anyway. You may not learn something brand new that day, but did you get a blessing from the Word of God? I hear these hymns and I hear Rich and Mary sing, and that's a blessing. I've heard them sing that song before, but hearing them sing it again was a blessing. We sing "How Great Thou Art" often here, but every time we sing it, it just kind of does something right there. And so, what kind of a church do we have? I want a church that's a mature church. I want a church that the people are growing and maturing. Do we want more people to come into the house of God? Of course. Well, every preacher wants that. I do this just about every Sunday. I came over here first and I said, "Lord, please fill up these 25 chairs right here. We need to fill these chairs up, Lord." Then I moved over here to these 40 chairs in this section here. I said, "Lord, we need to get these 40 filled up." Well, they're far from it today. Then I went over here. I said, "We need to get these 25 chairs filled up, Lord." And I moved back there to that little section in the back. All those happy people are back there. 35 chairs back there. I said, Lord, we need to get these 35 chairs filled up back there. That's 125 chairs, I think, if I did the math right. We could fill this place up. We could. If everybody invited one person and they came. Now, you might have to invite 10 people to get one. You might have to invite 100 people to get one. But you keep inviting. And we need to see the church grow. But I want to see it to grow. I want to see it grow spiritually. To me, that is much more important than numerically. Second thing we see here in this passage of Scripture that I already read is Christ as the foundation. The church is a family. Number two, Christ as the foundation. Paul makes it very clear that he laid the foundation in this church. Paul spent 18 months in the church of Corinth, building this church. Getting people into the church, getting people saved and teaching them and trying to grow them. I often think about this. I mean, how do you think Paul felt when he had to write this letter to a church that he was a year and a half in that church? How do you think he felt when he got word back that he had to write this letter to try to correct this church because it was going so far south? And it wasn't Paul's fault. Paul put his life into this church. He put everything he had into those 18 months. He preached and taught every single day of the week. I don't know if he ever took a day off. He had to work at times. He was a tent maker. His father was a tent maker. He was a tent maker. He joined up with Priscilla and Aquila, and they were tent makers, and they worked together building tents. Paul realized as an individual he had to work. He didn't just expect everybody to take care of him and pay him. He was willing to go out and work. Whenever he could, he'd be out there building tents. But I think he was teaching and preaching while he was doing it. Paul laid that foundation in the church of Corinth by spending that time there, teaching and preaching the Word of God. Do you know how important a foundation is? Every adult in here knows how important a foundation is, right? If you've ever done any building, you ever had something built, you know how important a foundation is. You've got to have a sturdy foundation to build upon. You can't just walk out there in the yard and let's start building a building and slap some 2x4s down and start nailing wood. You've got to have a foundation to build that on. The foundation is it's the most important part of the structure. We just finished a Sunday school course not long ago about the foundations and how important it is to build the right foundation. That foundation is the part that most people don't even see. But that huge mansion or that house is being built upon a foundation that's sturdy and it's going to hold up that building. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus tells a story in Matthew 7. You know the story. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You know, this story never indicates that one house was more expensive or better than the other. Right? Same house. One could have been a masterpiece of an architect. It could have been a 10-bedroom mansion. It could have been a big, huge house. The other one could have been just a little shack. Doesn't matter what kind of building it is. What matters is the foundation. that is built properly on the foundation. That's the difference in that story with those two different foundations. One was built upon the rock. The other one was just simply built, went out and built it on the sand. One withstood because of the foundation and one did not because of the foundation. Didn't matter what kind of house it was. You could put up a $1 million mansion on top of the sand and guess what? You're going to lose your $1 million mansion. You could put an outhouse on a rock and that outhouse is going to stay there for a long time. It all had to do with the foundation. Not the size or not the expense of that at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink that the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Our foundation, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. If you're saved, He's your foundation. Paul makes it very clear, going back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Excuse me. Paul laid that foundation with that church of Corinth. Somebody else came in and started building upon that foundation, as he said. I've laid it. I've got it started. Here's the foundation. That foundation was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you build upon that foundation, you have nothing to fear. If you build upon a man, if you're following a man, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter or Cephas, and Peter and Cephas are the same guys, or if you're following after, you know, Jack Hiles or Peter Ruckman or Terry Fenton, it's going to fall. You don't build your life upon a man. That's foolish foundation work. You build your life on Jesus Christ. Is our church built on the right foundation? I believe it is. I believe this church is built on the right foundation. That foundation consists of salvation in the souls of people, baptizing them after they're saved, joining them to our church, teaching them to witness to others, teaching them the Word of God, encouraging them to read and study the Bible, encouraging separation from the world. Boy, we got a lot of worldliness going on today. Unfortunately, it's creeping into our church and churches. Worldliness, worldly music, worldly dress, worldly attitudes, worldliness, period, is in our churches today. Not too many churches are exempt from that because most churches have some kind of worldliness creeping in. It's unfortunate. It slowly creeps in. We got to constantly be trying to push it out. It seems like it's harder to push it out than it is for it to come in. But that's where we teach the Word of God. We teach individuals, Christians, hey, separation from the world is a biblical mandate. It's not a suggestion. We need to live separated, holy lives. We need to teach people stewardship. That means giving, how to give properly. Do you tithe? Do you give a 10% of your income? That's just what we should be doing as mature Christians. The more that I grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, the more I grew as a Christian, the more I realized that I needed to tithe. And then after a while, I grew some more and I needed to give to missions. Then I grew some more and I started giving more to missions. And then I grew some more and we started giving more to missions. I don't think there's any end to that. winning souls, discipling others. This is all part of what we build upon that rock, that solid foundation that we are to be doing. And now let me give you the third and final thing here, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 3. The coming fire. The coming fire of judgment. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Some deeds that we do for the Lord are like gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. Being faithful to the Lord is gold, silver, and precious stones. Serving a ministry for the glory of God, not the glory of you, is gold, silver, precious stones. Can you scrub a toilet and clean the church for the glory of God? Amen. That's gold, silver, and precious stones. Some people say, I would never clean the church. Then good. You enjoy your wood, hay, and stubble. I had somebody recently tell me just this past week they would be willing to scrub a toilet if they could. Amen. They'd be willing to scrub a toilet if that's what God wanted them to do. Scrub every toilet in a church every single day of their life if that's what the Lord told them to do. I know some of you are too good for that, nobody's too good for that. I do it often. I scrub the toilets, mop the floors, yell at kids for putting water in the soap. Who put water in a soap dispenser? Wasn't me. Yeah, I know it was you. Boy, that bugs me when they put water in a soap thing. Anyway, that's let me just got to move on. It's one of my pet peeves around here. No, they're not trying to save me money or us money. No, they're just trying to aggravate me. It's like with the snake story. It's all they're trying to do. See if we can get this guy out of here sooner than later. Some deeds that we do are only of earthly value, and they're wood, hay, and stubble. Sometimes what we even try to think we're doing for the Lord is wood, hay, and stubble, because we're not doing it for the glory of God. We're doing it for me to get the glory, you to get the glory. Hey, look at what I did. Hey, everybody, I scrubbed the toilet. Wood, hay, and stubble. I thought if I scrubbed the toilet, I'd get a reward here. Not here, buddy. Not going to pay you $100 to scrub the toilet. You'll get that in heaven someday. Whatever the Lord, I think he'll give you a golden toilet brush. Right? Those that have scrubbed the toilet, all get a golden toilet. Solid gold. And you can put that in your little holster and you can walk around all heaven with that. I don't think that's true. I'm just saying that. But sometimes we do things that is wood, hay, and stubble. The judgment of God will test our deeds. That's what it says here. That's what Paul says. God's going to judge. The judgment of God will test our deeds, will test our works. God knows if we're doing this for the earthly good or for eternal good. God knows why he came to church today. Come to church, I got to go to church. Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to church, but I got to go to church. If I don't go to church, I know somebody's going to say something about it. I just got to go to church. Oh. Crying all the way to church. Wiping your tears before you come in. Oh, I had to go to church. Oh, I got to shake somebody's hand. I just know I got to shake somebody. If I don't shake somebody's hand, somebody's going to get mad at me. Well, that's no reason to do anything like that. If you're going to cry all the way to church because you're coming to church, stay home, please. Turn around and go back. Or get in here and get your heart right with God. But God will one day, turn to Romans chapter 14, God one day will judge our works. Judgment day is coming. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. Every born-again child of God will face Jesus Christ someday. Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, that word bad means worthless. Has nothing to do with your sin. You will not be judged as a Christian. You'll not be judged for your sin. That was taken care of 2,000 years ago on the cross. Our sins were already, our sins were taken care of. We're not going to stand in front of God, and he's not going to ask, "Well, what about this sin? What about that sin? How about that sin? How about this?" He's not going to do that. We're going to stand in front of God and be judged for our works as a Christian to determine the rewards that we're going to get, crowns that we're going to get, whatever rewards that he's going to give us. That's what's going to be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment is a completely different judgment. That's where the lost will stand in front of Jesus Christ and will be forever lost because they never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a different judgment, a different time. We as Christians will all stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. Every one of us, the preacher, every one of us will stand. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's going to be a way that the Lord is going to judge. I think I shared this with you before, but this is what I believe on this particular matter based upon Scripture. It says that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. Fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Go over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. And verse 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. "Is not my word like as a" what? "Fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Go back to chapter 5 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Look at verse 14. "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." Look at Saint Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah says these words in 20 verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I'm going to give you these verses, and then we'll finish this up. Luke 24, verse 32. Luke 24, verse 32. Luke 24, verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us?" You talk about spiritual heartburn. "While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. You see where I'm going with this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:14. Revelation 1, verse 14. Revelation 1, verse 14. John is actually, he's having a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified form. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of what? Fire. I personally believe that at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul wrote that, he's referring to two things. The judgment, of course, that we will stand in front of Jesus Christ and be judged. And that judgment is going to take place through the Word of God and Jesus Himself. I believe we're going to be judged by the Word of God. Is that the fire that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 3? That's the way I lean towards. Because of the fire mentioned, how fire is going to burn up these things. Well, the Word of God is likened to a fire, and Jesus Christ, His eyes are likened to a fire. So when we're standing there in front of Jesus Christ and we're being judged, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know how it's all going to take place, but very, very well, it could be that Christ has the Word of God there open in front of Him, and with His eyes, that is what's going to judge us. And if we've got earthly deeds that mean nothing, those piercing eyes and the Word of God is going to burn those up. But if we have gold, silver, and precious stones, the things that we've done for God, and we just wanted to bring honor and glory to the Lord, those will not be burned up. They'll be purified even more. A lot of people wonder, what is that fire that he's talking about? Well, I believe it's the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Folks, are you growing in the Lord? Are you reading the Bible every day? You know I'm big on that. You want to say that I got a pet peeve? That's my pet peeve. More importantly than water going into the soap dispenser. I can live with that. I can chew the kids out and put another thing of soap in there. I may grumble and gripe for a few days, and it's been over a week, and I'm still grumbling and griping about it. But to me, it's a waste of the Lord's money. That's what I tell them. You're wasting the Lord's money. And you're wasting my time. And you're getting me upset. Stop doing that. Okay. They won't stop. They'll do it again. They're little sinners. With cute little faces. But inside of those bodies, they're sinners. Okay, I'll calm down. We need to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian? Are you learning more things from the Word of God? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Is what you're doing for the Lord, is it for your own earthly good, or is it for His eternal good? Those are the things we need to think about as we go about our everyday duties as a Christian. I'm not reading God's Word to bring honor and glory to me. I'm reading God's Word to learn from Him and to bring honor and glory to Him. Why do I pray? Why do you pray? For selfish things? Oh, God, give me this, give me that, give me this. But, you know, you come to God with your huge Christmas list of all the things you want. I want a shiny this and shiny that and a new this and a new that. And that's not how we pray. We pray by going to God and the Lord and thanking Him for saving us. And Lord, help me to be a blessing today to somebody. Help me to be a testimony to somebody. Help me to bring honor and glory to Your name today, Lord. I want every one of you in this room to grow as a Christian. Every one of you. Even the evangelist down there that knows it all. No, he only thinks he knows it all. No, we're joking. Rich doesn't know it all. I don't know it all. None of us know it all. But we got a book in front of us, and we have a know-it-all God. He can teach us this book. He can show us the things that he wants us to learn and grow by. That's what he wants to do. That's not just selfishness on my part, wanting you to grow. The Lord wants you to grow. So let's grow. If you're a young babe in Christ here, drink the milk to a certain extent, but then get off the milk and get into the meat of the Word. Put the pablum away, the baby food away, and get into the steak and potatoes and the corn on the cob. Start acting like a mature Christian. If you got a problem with somebody, get it straightened out. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for this passage of Scripture that we read today. Thank you, Lord, for the way Paul had to rebuke this church. Lord, he wasn't just rebuking the church of Corinth. He was rebuking any church that the Christians are acting like a bunch of babies. He's encouraging the Christians to grow and to mature. And so, Lord, I pray that we as a body here, as members,